Tonight, two groups of weary men and women will emerge from conference rooms in Indianapolis with lists of colleges and universities, all meticulously bracketed on branch-like grids. Tomorrow morning, March Madness begins. The NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments won't actually start until later in the week, but workplace gamblers around the country will be scribbling down their predictions and coughing up a portion of their wages. But before the first brackets roll off those office copying machines, it's wise to be familiar with the existing laws on such bookmaking. I. Nelson Rose is a professor at the Whittier Law School in Costa Mesa, California. He's written extensively on gambling law, and he joins us from Las Vegas. How appropriate. Good morning, Professor Rose.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Are there federal laws people should be concerned with regarding betting on the NCAA tournaments?
Well, the federal government is really only interested in organized crime and interstate commerce. So bettors don't ever have to worry about the federal laws. If you're taking bets, and particularly if you're taking bets using a telephone or an internet on sports events across a state line, you do have things to worry about.
Well, then are there state laws?
Well, yeah, the states have what is called the police power, which is the power and maybe the obligation to protect its citizens' health, safety, and welfare. And if you look at the old cases, it says, and morality. So every state has laws against taking bets, although those are sometimes limited to making a profit, doing it professionally as opposed to socially. Half the states still have ancient laws on the books that actually make it a crime to make a bet, although these are virtually never enforced.
Has anything ever happened to people in the workplace themselves, in the workplace itself, for
yes.
taking part in these?
Yeah, the bigger legal issue is not criminal. Where the issues have come up is where people have been fired for example, gambling in the workplace or interfering with office procedures or using company facilities for it. And in every state, gambling debts are not collectible. So, in fact, the person who is running the office pool, if they refuse to pay, you actually cannot sue them. You can have them arrested, probably.
Give us some basic, then, commandments, I guess, for people to know before they start setting up these pools.
Well, yeah, bet on winners. If you really want to be safe, you have to check the state laws. So, for example, you couldn't do this in half the states of the United States. But the reality is, in fact, these are going to be in every state. And realistically, the most important thing to do is make sure you have really good records. Because the disputes that arise is where somebody thinks the operator of the pool is pocketing some money, or, you know, they get into a dispute over whether somebody really did have a bet down on a certain outcome.
One should ask the manager first, though, right?
Well, yeah, maybe you should have the manager run it. That's the then they can't come after you.
I. Nelson Rose is a gambling law expert and a professor at Whittier Law School in Costa Mesa, California. Professor Rose spoke to us from the World Lottery Association seminar on lotteries and TV game shows in Las Vegas, where he was a speaker this past week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.